Hello, and welcome back to the Chronically Positive Podcast. I'm your host, Isla Oxman, and I'm so excited for today's conversation because we're diving into another inspiring story of resilience, creativity, and community. Joining us is the incredible Sammy Lade, a passionate advocate, content creator, and dancer who is making waves in the chronic illness community. Sammy uses her platform to share the highs and lows of living with chronic illness while also providing valuable resources and inspiration for fellow Spoonies. She's all about fostering connection and building a supportive community. And today she's here to share her journey, insights, and the way she's turned her experience into a source of empowerment for others. This episode is packed with heart, honesty, and inspiration. So let's get started. Thank you so much for being on the show, Sammy.
Yes.
I'm so excited to meet and talk to you because I feel like I've been following you for like 2 years.
Yes, I know. I feel like we connected very early when I got on because, I mean, you've been on. But yeah, nice to finally talk to you.
It is so exciting. So as I tell everybody when I start the show is about positivity, but obviously we got to talk about the not so positive stuff because that's the stuff that got you to where you are today. So I'd love to hear your story.
So I started having like chronic pain when I was 12 and it started out as just like shoulder pain and it got like diagnosed. It's just like, oh, you're a dancer. You're active. You're growing. Mm-hmm. So I was really short for like a really long time. Like I didn't hit 5 foot until like ninth grade or something.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, oh, you're just growing. It's okay. And then it just kind of just always hurt. And they eventually we're like, oh, it's tendonitis. That's what it is.
That's what I was diagnosed with too, because I used to be a dancer too, and I gave up because it was too painful. But it was tendonitis was the diagnosis.
Yeah.
That is
No, I think that's like, and like so many of my students, that's like they get diagnosed with tendonitis. And I'm like, is it actually tendonitis? Yeah, so it was diagnosed as that, and then I like eventually started physical therapy, and then I think it just was a physical therapist that maybe wasn't the most knowledgeable and I ended up getting like more hurt. And I was like, oh no, PT is bad. I don't like this. So then, I don't know, it just kind of was in pain for many, many years. And then in college, it was like pretty darn bad. And it was like, I don't know, like it spread to beyond my shoulder.
Right.
After college, I graduated and I was like, I need to figure this out because I started teaching full time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't get through teaching. So then I got my first MRI, which I don't know how it was the first one after I was in college because I had gone so many times. But they're like, oh, you tore your rotator cuff. And so they were like, that's why you're in pain.
Right.
So then I had surgery on that and then it didn't really fix anything. So then eventually I found a PT that I really, really like, and I still work with her and she's awesome. And she was like, do you know what EDS is? And I was like, oh, okay. So then I found my doctor who I still work with, and she was like, first visit, she was like, yeah, and also you definitely have POTS. And I was like, what's POTS? I didn't even know what that was.
Right.
So I was actually diagnosed with POTS before officially being diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos. Mm-hmm. And then, POTS and then EDS, MCAS. Yeah.
Oh, you have MCAS too.
Yeah. She calls it subtle MCAS.
Subtle MCAS. Well, okay. So do you have your own dance studio?
So my sister and I own a studio. It's our ninth year. She owned it before she started it my last year of college. Mm-hmm. And then I like taught at it after college. And then a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I like officially own it now with her.
But it's
year number 9, which is pretty crazy.
That's wild. And so how do you manage teaching and having the trifecta?
It's definitely been like a learning process. And I think I grew up with the mindset of like, if you were tough or if you were like injured and you kept dancing, you were tough. Mm-hmm. And like that was like a really great asset to have. And then I kind of figured out that that's like actually not, and you need to listen to your body a little bit. So I'm still kind of like in the process of learning how to do that. But mm-hmm. I think I teach way less than I used to teach. Mm-hmm. And I am better about like vocally teaching mm-hmm. and like not having to use my body as much, or like limiting how much I use it. Mm-hmm. But like I teach a lot of hip hop, and hip hop I would say is like what hurts it the most. Luckily I have like really awesome students too, so they're like they've become really good at like picking up on how I like teach. So if I do something like, once, they're like, okay, got it, like I can do that. And then I have like some of them assist me, and mm-hmm. so I get the help. But yeah, it's definitely like a balance, and the hours are long, so I have to like drink like a ton of water, electrolytes,
oh yes,
all the stuff to like get me through the night. But I think like emotionally it's like worth it.
Yeah. Do your students know
that you do with? So well, not all of them, because like I teach like 2-year-olds, but the older ones, a lot of them like follow me on Instagram.
Oh, that's nice.
And so they know, and there's been a couple that have been like, I think I actually might have EDS, and I'm like, maybe. But so I think it actually opened up like a really cool dialogue with like, let me teach you how to like, this is how we listen to our bodies, and like when we would like go to the doctor versus ice versus heat versus like going to physical therapy. And like they like joke and call me Dr. Sammy at the studio, which I'm like, I am not a doctor, I am not giving you official medical advice. But it's like opened up this door that I didn't think of before, which is like what I didn't have as a kid, I guess. So like that part about it is kind of cool. But, and they know, I feel like I hide pain really, really well, but mm-hmm. then there's some days where they're like, are you okay? Like I can tell something is up right now. You're not moving your arm. And so I'll be like, ooh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they're awesome. I'm very fortunate.
That's awesome. So when did you start deciding to share like your story online? When did, I mean, obviously I feel like you've been on as long as I've been on, but what prompted?
I mean, I think it's been like two years. I don't know. But yeah, so it was actually one of my students. Her name is also Sammy. She has a blog about OCD, and she was diagnosed with OCD and had this like big journey, and she was sharing it online, and she was like, oh, you should start something. And so I started just like a blog, and it was like, I feel like I started it mostly for me to be like, okay, what are all the things I've like done and tried? And then mm-hmm. it's like somebody sees it and it helps them or like, I don't know, because I was having a hard time like finding like a dancer who like is still like trying to like make it work. Well, now I know of like so many, but when I like first like started, and I was like figuring out how to like help all the pain and stuff, and then so I had the blog for maybe a year, and then Sammy was like got on Instagram, and then she was like, you should start an Instagram, you should make reels, you'd be good at reels. And I was like, I don't know, I don't think so. And then eventually I like caved in, and I think like now that's what I do.
Yeah.
My blog has kind of gone dormant, but yeah. And so I think like it started as me trying to just like accumulate all of the different things I've like tried, but now I think it's turned into more like still that. And I still like, when people message me and they're like, oh, have you tried this? Or like, I saw you had that surgery, how'd it go? Like, I feel like I like to be like a resource for people, because I'm like, it's nice to have those people. So I feel like it's brought like a good community, which is nice to have when you kind of are going through some stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I first started my page as like to like let people in my life know what was going on with me. Yeah. And it was a lot of like health updates and stuff like that. And then I don't even know how it shifted, but it just like shifted into just raising more so awareness and educating yeah. versus like everything that's going wrong.
Yes.
And it kind of seems like that's – I love how you educate and you dance and it's like – it's so entertaining. And I mean, I would hope that people have who have no idea what you're talking about initially, like I'm sure are stopping and they're watching you because you're so fun to watch. So
yeah, I feel like the like dance aspect, I actually like didn't dance on like a reel or whatever for like a while because I was like self-conscious. I don't know because I'm like I like love performing, but like I'm a teacher, so I like I feel better about that. But I was like, oh, whatever, I'll just do it because that's what I do. And then I think like that's kind of become like, oh, she dances. Oh, but what is this text? Like, what is she posting about? But
yeah.
Then of course, I get the people that are like, you don't have issues. Look at you dancing. Like,
you're
fine. Go sit down if you're so sick. And I'm like, okay.
Well, that's the point that we're trying to show you that. It's a dynamic disability. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
So I think that those videos are really important. If I were to do that, I would be flat on my face. But that's only because I know that if I were to condition more, I definitely could do more. But it's hard to get there.
I don't, like, I feel like the only reason I, like, still can do it is because I haven't really, like, stopped. Like, the only time I've, like, taken a break is, like, for surgery or something like that. But I think like my doctor is like, I think your POTS is like very manageable because you like have never like deconditioned, like you're still.
Yeah.
So yeah, that part I'd be like very grateful for.
No, that's really great. And like there's like that whole thing, the whole like misconception that like POTS is caused by deconditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's like, I went skiing the day before my life changed forever. And then I was like bedbound for a year. So I did become deconditioned.
Yes.
So that is true. And it did make everything worse. But
yeah.
It is but not.
Cause, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And I think for people who are listening, conditioning with POTS, at least in my experience, is really scary. Mm-hmm. Because it causes the symptoms.
Yeah.
Like, to you to feel them and you like you do everything we do everything in our power every day to avoid feeling like that.
Yes. And it like you like have to like test your limits and you're like, oh nope, there it was, like there was the limit.
Yeah. And it's always like worrying, like is this too much, because like my cardiologist is like, get your heart rate up. I'm like, well, how much is too much?
He's like, I can just stand and it'll go up.
So, exactly, like,
where do you want me to go?
But no, I definitely have been wanting to dance more. And my interview with Kaylee Bays, we were talking about it because she, a lot of her, I don't know if a lot of her students have POTS, but she like does classes where like everything, like arms don't go like above the head because that's like a triggering thing. And so I really want to get back into dance because it was something that I stopped because I just couldn't do it without feeling so ill.
Yeah.
Because I used to do musical theater and do musical.
Yes. I love musical theater. Yes.
Yes. I wanted to go to college for it, but the body said no. And that was before I even knew. That was before I even knew that, like, I was sick. Because, like, I would sing and see stars.
That's what happens. Yeah. I have a hard time, like, singing for, like, any length
of
time. Yeah. Joined by my cat right now.
Yeah. Oh, hi.
Let's see if I can get him. This is Louie.
Oh my god, he looks like he has a mustache.
He does.
So cute. Oh my gosh, I want a cat so bad, but I'm so allergic. It's not even funny.
Do not get
a cat. Oh my god. All of our friends have cats, me and my boyfriend's friends, and like we go to their houses, but I'm just like,
I'm dying.
I'm like so doped up on allergy medication when I go there.
Are you allergic to dogs? No, you have a dog, don't you?
I am allergic to like dogs that shed.
Oh, okay.
Although I do feel like I'm kind of allergic to my little poodle, but I'm honestly like, I cry and I break out in hives. So like, I don't even know.
Fair.
Yeah. Like, I think I'm just allergic to like everything.
The world. Yeah.
It's a new thing every day. So I just accept it and replace the itchiness with her love that she provides me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you have a dance studio, you teach, and is your sister, she's healthy, and does she, anyone in your family care what you?
So I was diagnosed with all my fun stuff when I was like 26, so like 3 years ago. And then within the next year, I think my mom was diagnosed with EDS. And so she got officially diagnosed with it. I have three sisters, but the one I own the studio with, Amanda, she was diagnosed with it this year. I don't think my other sisters have it, but my mom and my sister Amanda and I, definitely EDS. Neither of them have been officially diagnosed with POTS or MCAS, but probable.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's so interesting. So my mom has it too. She has EDS. And didn't get diagnosed until I did because it made sense for her all of a sudden. Yeah. It's interesting because like some people, like I was interviewing somebody else and they're like the only person in their family who has any of Ehlers-Danlos or POTS. And then there's some families where it's like, it's a whole, everyone's, the whole gang's got it.
Yeah. Like I'm pretty darn sure my grandma on my mom's side had it. And like now it's like, oh, all that stuff makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks that like it wasn't well known because, I mean, not that there's so much you can do for it anyways.
I know. My mom is like, I don't think I wanted to know. I think I liked living in the denial that anything was wrong.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have like EDS and they go their whole lives. They don't know it because it just doesn't really affect them.
It doesn't. Yeah.
They're just hypermobile and like that's it. And that's kind of what I thought that I had too. And then within the past 2 years, my joints have been dislocating. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm a little bit more than dysfunctional.
Yeah, maybe it's a little more.
Did I tear my labrum? I think I may have.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
So interesting. Yeah, no, I didn't. It's all good. But it felt like good. It. My mom did, though. My mom definitely. She tore that thing. Ugh. I don't know. We care easily. It was hip. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I don't even know when I had that. Was that this year? No, last year. Surgery for that. But my mom has had 3 labrum tears on her hips.
So that must be an EDS thing then.
I mean, yeah. I've done both my shoulders and my hip.
Is that, do you tear them dancing or just living?
I think dancing because the hip one was like, I'm like pretty for certain my hip dislocated.
Yeah.
But this was before I was diagnosed. So I was like, I can't walk and it like hurt really bad. And like somebody had to put it back in. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And I think it tore then, but then it was like 5 years until I like actually tried to take care of it.
Oh no.
Cause I was like, I'd rather not have to have surgery. And so then I like tried to make PT work for as long as possible. And then I couldn't like sit. So.
Oh,
decided to get it. Sit.
Oh, that's awful.
But it's better now. It's lasted. It stayed.
That's good. That's really good. I remember, I can't believe it. Has it been a year since you had your shoulder surgery?
Shoulder surgery was...
Or that felt recent. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. On April Fool's Day.
Oh, that would make me super suspicious.
I feel like that, like, that's actually the second surgery I've had on April Fool's Day.
No way. What a joke. No.
Yeah. That was kidney stones, though. And I don't think that was, like, EDS related.
Wow.
That was just luck of the draw.
So did they both go well on April Fool's Day?
Did they? Yeah. Maybe it's a good day to have surgery. I don't know. I was like, that's probably the worst day, though. Because then they're like doing something and then the surgeon would be like, April Fools!
We amputated your arm!
Yeah, and then you're like coming off of anesthesia and you're like, what?
You'd hope that a doctor would restrain themselves from partaking in April Fools.
I was not pranked.
That's really funny.
Yeah. But yeah, I think like in the past couple years, I've had like a surgery each year.
Wow.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything you would like to share? Any wise words of wisdom for people maybe who are dancers with EDS or POTS? And they're like, oh no, I cannot dance anymore. But yes, you can. What can you tell them?
Yes, I think Kaylee might have said this, but I am a big advocate for learning how to adapt. And so I think literally anybody could dance. You just have to learn how you have to adapt to it. And each person is different with their limitations is the word I was looking for. And
oh my God, I can't believe I'm the one who helps with the word. It's usually the other way around.
Brain fog hit real hard there. Yeah, with their limitations. And I think it's like the most important lesson I learned is learning how to listen to your body. And then after you know how to listen to it, learn how to deal with it afterwards. Because I think it was like one step for me to just like not be fully dissociated and to actually like feel what I was feeling. But then being able to feel like I'm allowed to take up the space to do whatever I need to do, whether it's like just like resting for a little bit, or I need to like put some tape on or ice or heat or whatever it is. Because I spent like, I mean, honestly, probably until like this year, I was like very cautious about like showing anything, whether it's like showing I was in pain or like if I had a brace on, like I would hide it. Yeah. Because I thought it was like a distraction, and it felt like an inconvenience, and I felt like not a good enough teacher if I like wasn't able to do everything. But I think now I've learned that if I like show my students that like the importance of listening to your body and that it's really okay to take care of it, I think that's a good lesson for them to learn. And it's still a lesson I'm learning, but learning how to implement it. But I think that's been like the biggest like mountain I've had to climb.
That's really great. When was there ever a time where you thought that you just couldn't dance, like it was just not going to be in the cards for you? Or
I think when I was I pushed through it like all of junior high, high school, and I like had in my heart that I was going to dance, but never like really said it out loud. And then in college, I was on, there was like a hip hop dance team, and I also taught like after school. And I was like really struggling with fatigue, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Like, this is too much. And then, but I like love teaching, and I like find so much joy in it. And then after I graduated and I started teaching at my sister's studio, that was the year I like was like, okay, I'm on a mission to like figure out this like pain thing and this fatigue thing. And fatigue was actually kind of the like main reason I like was searching for answers, because I was like, I can't do it. Like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to like maintain this. And I think fatigue is still the thing that I am searching for answers.
Yeah.
Cause I think that like pain, I feel like I can deal with a little bit more cause I'm more used to it. Cause that's been what's been around the longest.
Right.
But yeah, fatigue is still what like, I think stops me the most. Before I met my doctor, who was like, I don't know, my EDS doctor. She calls herself a medical detective.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. She has EDS and like,
Oh, she's cool.
when I went to her, I was like, I don't think I can like do it. I think I have to stop dancing. And she was like, no, we're going to figure out a way to have you keep doing what you love. Because I have a bunch of doctors tell me to stop dancing. They were like, that's what causes your pain. That's why you're so tired. And then I was just like, no, there's no way. And she was like, if you stop dancing, what would that do to your emotional well-being? You have to find the balance of how can you still do it, but take care of yourself at the same time.
Wow, we need more doctors like that.
That's... Yes, she's amazing.
Oh my gosh, that is incredible. Like, I was seeing a therapist for a while when I was first diagnosed with my chronic illness, and she was like, well, maybe you just, like, have to change your career path and, like, change. And I was, like, really upset by that, and I broke up with her.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I felt when, like, all the doctors told me. I was like, are you insane? Like, absolutely no. Not. Yeah.
And like you said, there's always a way to adapt. You should always find a way to do what fulfills you and makes you happy. And it looks like you are doing exactly that. Yeah. And that is so wonderful. Is your cat making biscuits?
Yes. He's a professional baker.
Can we have some? He's
good. He really likes whenever I like have a virtual appointment of any kind, he is like all about it because I like live by myself. Yeah. And so if I'm like talking, he's like, oh, who are you talking to? And he gets really happy.
Oh. Can I bake for them?
Oh, yeah. He's an entertainer.
And what's his name again?
Somewhere. Louie.
Louie. Yeah. Oh, he's so cute. Yeah. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Any projects coming up that you'd like to let anyone know about?
I think so.
And if you don't, that is totally fine as well.
I think learning, like, this is where I'm at, like, right now with my life is learning the balance of, like, mental health and physical health, because I think I spent a long time figuring out my physical health, and I am now tying together the mental health aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And I think anybody out there that is struggling with anything physical, or I guess vice versa, struggling with something mental, look into whichever one you don't think is an actual issue, because that has been a big game changer for me, focusing on my mental health, because I realized a lot of the reasons I wasn't listening to my body and wasn't taking care of myself was because of mental health stuff. So I think if somebody had told me that like 10 years ago, I would have felt a little bit better a lot sooner.
Absolutely.
I think that's about it.
Well, thank you. And I totally agree with that. I mean, if the physical health isn't good, my mental health isn't good, my physical health isn't good. So it's really important to not neglect one over the other, because they are both as important.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being on the show. It was so nice to meet you and talk to you. You're so fun. And that's a wrap for today's episode of the Chronically Positive Podcast. A huge thank you to Sammy for joining us and sharing her journey, insights, and amazing work she's doing in the chronic illness community. If you love this conversation as much as I did, make sure to follow Sammy and check out her content for more inspiration and support. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow and share it with someone who might need to hear Sammy's incredible story. And as always, thank you for being part of this community. You are the reason this podcast exists, and I'm so grateful for your support. Until next time, remember, your journey matters, and there's so much strength in sharing our story and lifting each other up. Take care, and I'll see you next week with another incredible guest.